This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So we're looking through time and space here, and this is all in connection with Mike Rick Secker's book, Travels Through Time, Inside the Fourth Dimension, Time Travel and Stacked Time Theory. Now, parenthetically, we mentioned fifth dimension. Of course, those of us who follow comic books think of Mr. Mixie's Piddalick. Do you know who that is?
I'm not familiar. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's a character in the Superman comics.
Okay.
He's absent from another dimension, they say fifth dimension. He has unlimited powers, but he can only be sent back to his dimension if he says or reads his name backwards.
Oh, that's fun.
Isn't it?
What's interesting about that, hey, that's not too far up. So, you know, scientists down in Antarctica working on the Ice Cube project and the ANITA project. The results of that is it's basically they're working with neutrinos. They're testing neutrinos coming from space. And they had actually detected some working the exact opposite fashion coming up out of the planet. And now this was over a year and a half ago now, a peer-reviewed published paper about how these neutrinos could be indicative of a parallel universe running in reverse time. So somebody having to return to another dimension or parallel universe or something like that, having to say their name in reverse, well, hey, that's not too far off, is it?
Well, you kind of think here that when they write these comic books and when they write novels, they are looking at scientific literature. Like
oh,
in
sure.
the early days, Edgar Rice Burroughs wrote these novels about Pellucidar, a civilization beneath the earth. He used actual writings at the time which theorized a hollow earth.
And I don't subscribe to the complete hollow earth theory, but the idea that there are, vast chambers within the earth in which, there could be other civilizations and life forms surviving down there. That's not too far out of the realm of possibility. We know that there are, lava tubes, extinct magma chambers and things like that that are underground. And you have a lot of, going back to, ancient legends and folklore and things like that, there are stories of creatures and beings and other life forms living underground that, whether they pulled humans down there or in some cases, in some origin stories from different cultures, these beings helped the indigenous people, the humans, survive cataclysms and things like that. So, it's not totally out of the realm of possibility.
Now, a famous or infamous sci-fi and UFO writer from the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, Ray Palmer. By the way, they used his name as the character, the Atom, for DC comic books, a guy who makes himself small in a tiny suit. But anyway, Palmer, for a time, wrote about the alleged hollow earth. And people attacked him. Well, there's no real hollow earth. It's ridiculous. What you're saying is ridiculous. And they said, no, the hollow earth is really the astral, another plane of existence, but that's like either going to another dimension, another reality, when he said that. That's obviously not so far off from this.
Well, yeah, when you start talking about astral projecting, sure, you could project to, because again, you're talking about your consciousness. You could take, we are multidimensional beings, so our consciousness on the fourth dimension is inside our three-dimensional vessel, which is our body. And so once that consciousness comes out of the body, it can certainly walk around its native dimension. Or there are ideas and theories about projecting to other dimensions above ours. Again, 5th, 6th, 7th. And actually, I believe, you know, real time travel would be somebody who can project their consciousness from their physical body here on this plane of existence and move up and down that stack of time that we were talking about before, but to be able to do that, they would, I believe, have to somehow master that fifth dimension. So to be able to take the consciousness out of the fourth into the fifth and then move up or down that stack and reinsert them into the fourth, wherever else on that stack would be.
Now, when we talk about time travel, that's also a very popular gimmick in sci-fi, where the Enterprise goes back to the 1980s, San Francisco, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Of course, there's a lot of
get the whales, right?
You have to get a couple of whales. We want to get some. I don't want to say it the way Chekhov did. You know, some nuclear vessels. Anyway, but it actually was one of the better of the Star Trek movies at the time. A lot of humor. That was the one of the two Trek films directed by Leonard Nimoy. As some of us remember, right? And then he also played Spock at the same time. I always wonder how a movie director, and there's some really good ones like Jonathan Frakes also, are able to be stars in a film or TV show and also direct it.
It's a lot of work, I can't imagine. But that would be a lot of work.
It's worse than just singing while playing piano or drums.
I imagine so.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to try it myself. Actually, the person who I think who did that best playing drums was Karen Carpenter. She was a wonderful, skilled drummer. And she'd sing while playing the drums in that fabulous voice. And she's doing all these things with the drums. It's like she's two people, one head singing and the rest of the body playing the drums. It was amazing if you ever see the things on YouTube. And you have to then really, really feel sad that she died so young. But let's get back to time travel. Time travelers, going back through time. One of the theories in the UFO field is that E.T. is not E.T., it's us. Maybe thousands of years from now, going back to pay a visit, going back to undo a wrong. And then, of course, we think of the grandfather theory, where if you go back through time, kill your grandfather, you don't exist. Even, for example, the Back to the Future movie, where Marty McFly goes back through time, and if he doesn't make sure that his parents get together, he can't exist.
Yeah, it's definitely a fun thing to look at. I've always enjoyed Back to the Future. And yeah, it uses that classic grandfather paradox. I don't think he would have completely disappeared had he disrupted that. I think time just would have ended up very different. Sure, he wouldn't have been born, but his physical body still would have been there because now we're venturing time off in a new direction. But I always find that, I find it funny because a lot of times, you know, classic physicists will, denounce the grandfather paradox and say, well, that's just, you know, sci-fi gimmick and what have you. But in the 1980s, a couple of physicists were having a back and forth discussion because there was a theory that had come to light, the Novikov consistency principle, which basically stated that while time travel would be possible, that nothing could possibly be changed with that time travel because the equation wouldn't come out to zero. So basically he was calculating, you know, all this math and just said, well, yeah, okay, time travel can happen, but something changes, it won't work because the equation won't come out to zero. So this was this consistency principle. So Joe Polchinski and Kip Thorne, two renowned physicists, were having this back and forth about this. And so Polchinski postulated, well, okay, let's take a billiard ball, and you shoot the billiard ball through a wormhole.
Before we find out what happened to that billiard ball, we've got to have the pause that refreshes with Mike, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage, and you should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, we've taken our pause. Let's get back to the secrets of the billiard ball, Mike.
Yes, the secrets of the billiard ball. Yeah, so Olchinsky suggests, well, if you shoot this billiard ball through a wormhole, so using the Einstein-Rosen bridge, And that wormhole comes out, basically loops back around so that the billiard ball exits and hits itself just before it originally goes into the wormhole, and you're knocking it off course. And this is what they ended up calling the Polchinski paradox. And this, for many physicists, was acceptable. And I kind of had to laugh at that because it's essentially the same exact thing as the grandfather paradox. But instead of using somebody going back in time to knock their grandfather off course so that they're never conceived, it's a billiard ball that's sent back in time to knock a billiard ball off course, but that's acceptable. So I had to laugh at that. Going back to the beginning of that question about the possibility that some of these UFOs and ETs are ourselves, they're time travelers. I always try to be careful, you know, about something like this, because there are people that say, you know, that's all UFOs and UAPs are. They are ourselves. They are time travelers. And to me, well, okay, it's a wonderful idea. I agree with it in part. I'm very, very hesitant to say with any of this phenomenon that one answer is the answer and that's it. There's no other acceptable answer. I believe that many of these ideas are very plausible in that there is no one answer to explain all this phenomena, that there are multiple answers for all this phenomena. So, sure, one UFO up there may be a time traveler. Another one may be an actual physical craft from another place in the universe. Another one may be some sort of interdimensional being or what have you. Or another may even just be a plasma event. So I think there's multiple answers for these events. When it comes to the ET part of it, that, you know, it's ourselves instead, I like it, but let's take a step back here. Ourselves in the future developing time travel technology to come back, sure, I'll agree with that. But it doesn't necessarily have to be human. It could be indigenous to Earth. But it could be, hey, think about this. The Earth is 4.5 billion years old. There's about another 5 billion years left to its existence. We're kind of in a unique place where we're almost right in the middle of the Earth's lifespan. But while we take a look at those raw numbers, 4.55, they don't sound like big numbers, but really in the grand scheme of things, humanity has only been here for a very, very short period of time. Think about this. You know, dinosaurs went extinct. They went extinct 64 million years ago, which is just over 1% of the entire lifespan of the Earth. So in the Earth's age, that's a very short time ago. But to us as humans, that's a really, really long time. The oldest human fossils are about 315,000 years old. It's not that long ago. So that means 5 billion years out into the future, humans may not even exist. You know, 64 million years from now, humans might not be here on Earth for a variety of reasons. You know, you can pick a catastrophe, or we've annihilated ourselves, or, you know, we ended up having to move off the planet and we've gone elsewhere. All those are possibilities on the table. So those things coming back, while they may be time travelers, they could be another intelligent life form that has evolved here on Earth, developed civilization, eventually developed time travel, and came back. It could even be, still, an extraterrestrial life form that millions of years from now came across our planet, deemed it was habitable for them, colonized it, and eventually developed time travel capabilities and went back in time. Yes, I agree that some of these UFOs and UAPs could be time travelers from Earth. Doesn't necessarily make them human.
I was thinking about the Michael Masters, the professor who's written several books on this subject. That's one of the things that he talked about, was that it's not necessarily ourselves visiting us from the past, that the entire technology, whatever you want to call it, for time travel could have been developed by some other race, and now because time is basically open, that they have joined forces with other people throughout history, which could account for some of these experiences that have been reported by witnesses of seeing not only what appears to be, and you know, you put this in quotation mark, extraterrestrial beings, but also people in Air Force uniforms or very clearly human-like people all, you know, moving around and seem to be part of the same kind of system. And I can think of, as Gene would say, I can think of all kinds of pop culture, you know, movies and television shows that use this kind of scenario. But like you said, I mean, you know, why should we be the only game in town?
Right, exactly. Yeah, pick a television show or a film or what have you, and there are a lot of fascinating and wonderful ideas to try to explain this. And I think that's what we're doing through our popular culture, through our written works, books, and things like this, is we're trying to make sense of this. So if somebody has an idea and they run with it. You know, what if this happened? What if this was the truth? And it gets us thinking. And I think that's a wonderful thing that, you know, we're having this type of a conversation and trying to work through a lot of the different ideas and possibilities of, you know, what it is we're actually seeing and experiencing.
Well, there is a lot of instances within the whole UFO phenomena that seems to indicate some kind of time factor, whether or not, like, these craft or whatever you'd want to call them uses time travel as a form of propulsion. And I think about, like, the Oz effects and some of these missing time events, to some of the occupants of these craft who have actually come out and talked to people asking weird questions like, what is your time? Or even going as far as to telling these people what's going to happen to them in their future. You know, you're going to, you know, leave town and move into such and such a house, or your Uncle John is going to die in a car accident, you know, 2 weeks from now. Hardly things that you would expect astronauts from another planet to be talking about.
Right, exactly. And those type of beings, yeah, they're not going to be an astronaut or a cosmonaut or what have you from another planet that is, you know, just exploring the universe, maybe looking for a place to colonize. I think there are those out there. But yeah, those that seem to be outside the dimension of time, that have this additional knowledge of things that are going to happen.
We're going to happen to break right now with Mike, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. Patients and staff are evacuating Gaza's largest hospital, Al-Shifa, with a few remaining doctors attending to those too vulnerable to leave, as the Israeli military reportedly ordered staff to evacuate, a claim disputed by Israel. Accusations by Israel allege that Hamas uses Al-Shifa for military purposes, and that's a claim denied by Hamas, as well as medical officials. The UN is urging Israel to provide access to the medical center for an investigation into the conflicting claims. Apple has decided to stop advertising on X following owner Elon Musk's remarks on anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. Musk responded to an anti-Jewish post by expressing agreement with the user's views. Additionally, Apple ads were reportedly displayed alongside far-right content. This decision aligns with a similar move by IBM and marks a departure for Apple, a significant advertiser on what was previously Twitter. Skip Kelly, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
This is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Describing the possible impact of time travel, creatures who might have experienced time travel and what might be going on with them. Mike Rick Secker, please go on.
Yeah, I was just basically agreeing that, you know, some of these beings are, you know, outside that dimension of time. Now, I think that we tend to forget. Now, you might have an extraterrestrial race from another planet that has figured out how to move through the different dimensions and it has conquered time travel, what have you. But there are other beings and entities. When we look at, again, our theoretical physics has told us that there's up to 11 hyperspatial dimensions. If that is true, I think it would also stand to reason that there are beings and entities that live within those dimensions as well. That it's not just, you know, humans live, you know, on our plane of existence and that's it. And any other being and creature would also have to live on, you know, that dimension and plane of existence. These other dimensions are also going to have beings and entities within them. And again, they would be outside of the realm of time. So they would certainly be able to look at anything in our dimension, since they're above it, and say, oh yeah, like, you know, like your example, your Uncle John got in a car accident and died, or 5 years from now you're gonna, you know, get married or something like that. They would be privy to that kind of information because they would be able to go look at it.
So then if somebody says they could foresee the future, they're actually traveling through time or perceiving a wider range of time options.
To a degree, yeah. So, you know, somebody who's able to truly, you know, not just, you know, somebody who's doing like a cold psychic reading and, you know, looking for keys and clues to be able to give something that sounds accurate. You know, we have, especially during our sleep, And I do believe, not to put down psychics or anything, I do believe there are some very, very true and accurate psychics in that sense. They are able to see some of these things. But I've worked with some good ones. You know, you look at our sleep state, and you know, our brain enters a variety of different wavelengths, brain states while we're sleeping. And there are times where, you know, people wake up from a dream and they're like, oh, that was pretty realistic. And then a day, a week, a month later, the exact same thing that they were dreaming about actually happens. And so, you know, we call that like some sort of premonition. And essentially what's happening here is, again, everything's frequency, resonance, vibration, and they're able to actually tune into some other moment on that stack of time, tune into one of those other photographs, pick up on that frequency, and get a glimpse of one of those things occurring. And that becomes, again, what we would call a premonition. So this is something that, you know, a lot of people have been able to do, a lot of times by mistake. Some people have been able to train themselves to tune in to certain frequencies and get that glimpse themselves, which would be the psychics that are a bit more accurate in nature. And then you have the idea of the collective unconscious from Carl Jung and what other people call the Akashic Records. Very, very similar concepts. I basically call it eternal knowledge, which, if all time is concurrent, then all the knowledge of the universe is also there to be accessed. And, you know, you see people come up with, you know, ideas and concepts that are far, far ahead of their time, like Nikola Tesla. You know, where was he getting the idea of? And he didn't know how it was going to, you know, ultimately come about, but where does he come up with the ideas of, you know, all the knowledge of the universe being a device you can, you know, slip into your pocket, and now we have these cell phones. He had ideas about, you know, robots and artificial intelligence in the 1890s, you know, and everybody was laughing at him. And here it is, we have it now. So there's knowledge out there that's very, you know, it seems like we're looking into the future, or, you know, getting glimpses of the future, and in a way we are, but we're really just tuning into that frequency to get that glimpse or gain that knowledge.
Would that explain also why some highly creative people will have a dream and they'll wake up and there's Paul McCartney writing Yesterday or Let It Be? That came to him in a dream, and he's not the only songwriter who can say that.
Yeah, exactly. It happens with writers as well. It's happened with me in my writing, where I've had a dream about something and I go write it down. Or even, you know, writing this book, Travels Through Time. When I was writing, it was part of the Ancient Perspectives on Time chapter, and I had woken up in the middle of the night, could not fall back asleep, and I usually don't write very well late at night. I'm one that I can still function and move around and do like manual labor sorts of things at night, but my mind doesn't work for writing as well. It's a little too punch drunk by that point. But it was like 3:30 in the morning, and I just had this notion, this idea that I had to go and work on that particular chapter. And, you know, part of it is just, okay, I'm writing on the Australian Aboriginal concepts of the dream time, which, again, they're talking about all time being concurrent. But then that last paragraph of that chapter, which I think is one of the most well-written things I've ever written, I have 13 books to my credit, one of the most well-written paragraphs I've ever put together, and reading it later when I woke up the next morning, I was like, oh my God, I wrote that? It was bizarre to me, but yeah, some of my best writing was when I was half asleep and punch drunk and not a place where I usually write, but I had tapped into something to conclude that chapter.
Well, I also should say here that when my son and I were writing science fiction novels, we would talk back and forth about a chapter or plot idea. And I remember some of the sequences in that book were things I sort of dreamed about. and woke up and said, let's use that. So I guess it happens to everyone, or almost everyone. It's just a question of how you use it. How, for example, Keith Richards could use his dream to create that basic rhythm for I Can't Get No Satisfaction.
Yeah, I think when you are, I think it's a matter of tuning into to frequencies. And, you know, you are, your body is going to, in those states, I mean, it's a meditative state, really. When you're asleep, it's a deep meditative state. But your frequency is going to look for, you know, other things that it has in common. It's going to try to tune into something that it relates to find, you know, that similar frequency. And again, that knowledge is all eternal, and it grabs it. It recognizes it and then essentially downloads it. I got another story for you on that. When I was, and I hope we have enough time for this with this segment, but when I was a kid,
about 1 minute, but we could split it.
Okay. So we'll start with this. When I was a kid, I really enjoyed the Rocky movies. That's still Sylvester Stallone produced, still do. And when I started writing at a young age, about 7 years old, and so it was after Rocky II had come out, I wanted to produce write my own little Rocky III. And in my story for Rocky III, I had Rocky become friends with Apollo Creed, and he fights a Russian boxer. And so we see that in Rocky III, yes, he becomes friends with Apollo Creed, and in Rocky IV, he fights a Russian boxer. But wait, there's more. And do we have enough time, or we got to cut to the break?
Well, let's cut to the break, because
all right.
That's interesting, isn't it? That, of course, the Creed movies are based on the son of Apollo Creed.
Right.
So,
yes.
You know, where that comes full circle. In any case, Mike Ricksecker joins Gene Steinberg and Tim Switzer in
the Podcast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So you were writing the Rocky stories, Mike, before Sly Stallone wrote them. Maybe he should sue you, or you should sue him.
Maybe I should sue him. No, I mean, he had a whole more complete story. You got to think about this. You know, I was like 7 years old. What I was writing was, you know, not that good, but I had the ideas. I had tuned into some of the ideas and concepts. And so it was kind of fun. It was kind of ironic, you know, cutesy sort of thing. And I kind of used to laugh about it a little bit. But, you know, after Rocky IV came out, and you remember the 3 and 4 were kind of, they were almost like cartoons, really. You know, it's like now Rocky's a superhero and he's fighting villains sort of thing. So I had a conversation with my mom in the kitchen one day after Rocky IV came out. I was like, you know, I liked the movie. It was fun, but you know, I liked it better when Rocky was poor and didn't have as much money. I liked his character better. Well, a few years later, Rocky V comes out, and wouldn't you know it, that Rocky loses all of his money, and he becomes more of the character that we saw in the first two films. Okay, that's kind of uncanny. So, you know, Rocky V didn't do very well at the box office, and we don't see another one for 15 years. But during that time, years before the sixth movie, Rocky Balboa, came out, I had this dream that they were, in fact, producing a Rocky VI. And in this dream, I go and I go to see the film. And the scene that I distinctly remember from this dream is Adrian on her deathbed. And she's dying and ultimately dies in the dream. And, of course, Rocky Balboa, the sixth film, starts off with Adrian is dead. So there was certainly something that whatever Stallone was tapping into, and you know, his creative genius to create those films, because I had just really enjoyed those films as a kid. I apparently retained that connection as an adult, that I was at least getting some glimpses of what was going on.
So you were in sync with Stallone because he wrote a lot of the screenplays for these characters. We forget how good an actor, how good a director and screenwriter he is, because you think of him as being this dumb guy.
Right, yeah, and you were talking about it earlier about, you know, being a director and an actor, and Stallone was writer, director, and actor.
And producer, yes. Hey, Adrian!
Yeah, you know, Stallone gets a bad rap, and I understand it. It's the delivery, and there's nothing he can do about it because, you know, the whole side of his mouth there is paralyzed. It was born that way. It's something that he's dealt with, and he's worked it into his character. So I commend him for, you know, working with that disability to get where he is now.
He turned his disability into a shtick. Just like, for example, Arnold Schwarzenegger never learned how to drop his Austrian accent or deliberately decide not to because that is part of the character.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, so they used it to their advantage, which, yeah, is smart.
Got to use what you had. Like Ringo Starr is a lefty playing a right-handed drum kit, and he parlayed that into these unique stylings that made him influence virtually all rock drummers who followed him.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's interesting where some of these things come out of, but people, you have enough determination, you can make the best of whatever your situation is.
Let's get back to the time travel theories about what's mm-hmm. going on here. So the theory being here is that if we could do it 10,000 years from now, could we do it now? Could we be like the character George in the Time Machine from the late 1890s who somehow develops a time machine?
Yeah, this is what I say in the book, that I think time travel will have to do more with us than a DeLorean and a flux capacitor. You know, when our physicists talk about developing a time machine, you know, one, they'll either say, well, you know, we could develop a machine, but the amount of energy that would take would be, you know, the amount of energy of the sun. We would have to harness all of that energy. Well, okay, if we did that, we would annihilate the planet just trying to power this one machine. Or two, like we were talking about earlier, with trying to utilize a black hole in order to do it. So neither one of those possibilities are really feasible. But I believe it's possible. We've kind of danced around it a little bit here, talking about, you know, being able to, you know, move the consciousness around from one of the stacks or one of the photos in the stack of time to another. And I think this is really well illustrated. We also mentioned Christopher Reeve earlier, and we've been talking a lot of pop culture in the movie Somewhere in Time. Which is based off of the book by Richard Matheson, Bid Time Return. And if you try to find that book now, they've renamed it to Somewhere in Time. And, you know, a really fascinating movie in which essentially, for those listeners that aren't familiar with it, you know, the main character, played by Richard, essentially wills his consciousness from 1980 back to 1912. Now, so that he can go, you know, meet this woman from this photograph that he's fallen in love with. And what he does is he's in the hotel room, at the hotel where, you know, she had performed all those years ago. He clears out the room entirely of any modern accoutrements, and he sets it up, at least in his best estimation, to what it would have looked like in 1912. Changes his clothes to that era, you know, gets some coins and things from that era as well. And you know, he convinces himself that he is actually back in 1912, and his consciousness is then you know, essentially projected back there. He wills himself to that moment in time. And, you know, I remember watching that as a kid, absolutely fell in love with the movie and found it utterly fascinating. And then as an adult, diving deeper into the actual book. Now, Matheson wrote both the screenplay and the book that preceded it. And when you actually read the book, he has his character Richard go to the library, which he does in the movie. But some of the books that he checks out in the book version are different than the screenplay. So he's actually looking up and reading books on the concepts of time, the philosophy of time, that are real books, like Man and Time by J.B. Priestley and some of these others. And so Matheson had actually studied a lot of these different concepts of time and how time works and how you might be able to travel through time based on all of this work, and then incorporated that into his book and the screenplay for this film. So I think he was really on to something there, that this is how time travel would really work.
And you go back through time and there's Jane Seymour.
Oh, yeah. Who wouldn't want to go back for Jane Seymour?
By the way, there's now, today she's, what, 70 years old, and she stars in this British TV series called Harry Wilde, where she becomes like a Mrs. Marple character. She's a retired professor who decides to solve murder mysteries. And by the way, if you get Acorn, which is the network that streams these shows, it's a lot of fun. She is just a wonderful actress. You don't think of that until you see her now as an older woman, and she's completely overwhelms the show, just her presence. But let's not forget what happened towards the end of the film. Christopher Reeve calls back through time and to see this woman he's obsessed with, played by Jane Seymour, but he forgets one thing, his wristwatch.
It was actually a penny. The watch, it was a pocket watch, and that actually becomes what we call a bootstrap paradox, because there's no origin to it. Because it basically only exchanges hands between him and her at different points in time. What sends him back is when he was dealing with all the coinage, it accidentally slipped in a penny from 1980 in there, and that's what zapped him back to the present.
So again, the illusion was broken.
Right, the illusion was broken. It reminded him that, I'm not really in 1912, I'm in 1980, and it broke that connection.
It's interesting to have seen this movie because Reeve plays this very subdued kind of guy. And this was after, a couple of years after he did Superman the movie, and you think, he did this movie to show a totally opposite cerebral character, as opposed to this action hero who could leap tall buildings with a single bound, and show what a flexible actor he was. Mike, Gene, and Tim flying away with
the Pedicast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you love reading about the mysteries of the universe? Do you wonder what secrets are hidden in the shadows of our own planet? If so, you won't want to miss these two amazing books by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. In Mimics, The Others Among Us, you'll explore the world of the mimics of man, beings that can look like us but are not. They've been among us since the beginning of history, hiding in plain sight, influencing our culture in ways we can scarcely imagine. In Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters, you'll discover the so-called hard evidence of UFOs that's been available for study this entire time, but for the most part has been ignored. These two books will open your eyes to a hidden reality that has been right in front of our eyes all along. That's Mimics, The Others Among Us, and Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. Available now on Amazon.com.
I need to file my tax return right the first time. How can I be sure to do that?
Doing your taxes yourself? Using e-file is the best way to file an accurate tax return. Mistakes can delay your refund, so spend an extra few minutes making sure you can file an accurate return the first time around. Avoid common errors by spelling all names correctly and using correct Social Security numbers. Double-check your bank account numbers for direct deposit and double-check your math, too. Oh, yeah, don't forget to sign and date your return.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.